podcast is part of the Podcast You're Seeing Network. Visit us at www.podcastyourseeing.com.
Media has an agenda that they're gonna serve. I don't know who's in charge of it or what it is, if it's like a headless monster.
Why? This is a question.
Walking backwards. Yeah. Something sacred.
I don't know the names of the creep songs. Those
running
are
in circles.
Just pop in and let play.
Sea of Glass.
It's the Flight and the Fall.
I love Ozzy. I think he's the true definition of a rock star.
Anybody else have any interesting stories they want to tell?
This is Doug from After the Fall.
Hey, this is John Lane from the thriving metropolis of Leechburg, Pennsylvania.
The Pennsylvania Rock Show, featuring the best unsigned rock that Pennsylvania has to offer. It's Bill, and you're tuned into the Pennsylvania Rock Show, featuring the best unsigned rock and metal that Pennsylvania has to offer, right here on PARockShow.com, MegaRockRadio.net, 107.1 FM, St. Louis, Missouri, AltRockRadio.ca, Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, RootaRootRadio.com, on the beaches of San Diego, California, XRPRadio.co.uk, in Birmingham, United Kingdom, and right here in the thriving metropolis of Leechburg, Pennsylvania, buildthescene.com. My name is Bill. This is episode number 603. And with me tonight are three of the gentlemen from Scattered Hamlet. And I was trying to figure out what you were holding up there.
My very own leather lion.
He actually came here in Nashville behind the Blue Note, it was, I believe. I don't know if that's even a club there, but
there's not.
A Blue Note. They didn't know that.
We have a Brown Note.
That's what I meant. He killed that there with his buck knife.
So for some reason, Facebook did not connect. So we're only on YouTube right now.
Zuckerberg.
He heard us talking about him.
Yeah.
It's not the first time we've been zucked.
No, we get zucked all the time. No metaverse for Scattered Hamlet.
So anyway, we are on firstangelmedia.com and buildthescene.com's YouTube and live on both of those websites as well. Scattered Hamlet. I am going to start off with a cliched question just because. Yep. Where did the name come from?
Came from a Time Life Civil War book that was called, it was a chapter called Scattered Hamlets. And it was describe poor, like, dispersed mountain towns. So it was kind of when I formed this band in L.A., that's where I figured that's where we were from. And it's it was not a very good move in hindsight because it should be a lot more obvious because people are like, sounds like Shakespeare. Like, we should have just, like, called ourselves, like I don't know, like Bush Light and Whoop Ass or something. And it would have been probably made
I don't know.
We should trademark that.
What I get mostly from the name is people think that it's a item on a Waffle House menu.
Yeah, you get that. I'll be like, hey, bro, is that like from Waffle House? I'll be like, yeah, I've never heard that before.
You're dad so covered, brother.
Yeah.
Since you mentioned it, kind of sounds like something that might be on a Denny's menu.
Yeah, well, Waffle House is superior to Denny's. In
it is superior.
There aren't very many.
I might have to fight you all on that. I used to go to Denny's, man. I got some.
Yeah, but
shit there. But Denny's out in L.A. serve beer though, so that's
yeah, that is true. That is true. But Norm's does too. I did in L.A.
We're not talking about Norm's.
Well, I'm just bringing other things to the mix. But Waffle House wins.
Yeah, I think Waffle House probably wins.
I don't know where the closest Waffle House is to me.
I'm going
to
be a conscientious objector.
Listen, I bought this Purple Anniversary Marshall head for $150, Marshall cabinet for $150 from a meth head in a Waffle House parking lot.
Not fair enough.
I have three Waffle Houses in my town, so I know.
You do.
I'm very experienced in this.
Mule Town's got a lot of Waffle
House. Mule Town.
That's why I don't have one, because you stole them all.
Yeah, you're up pretty far north. That's what it is up by you. Y'all are up there pretty far.
Where are you at that you have three Waffle Houses?
I'm like an hour south of Nashville.
Okay. Columbia. Yeah, there's
in Mule Town.
Mule Town, baby.
It's the mule capital of the world.
It truly is.
They actually have a mule festival
there. Yeah, we have a Mule Day parade every year. It's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
I'm trying. The only Waffle House that I can think of that I've been in is at State College, Penn State University.
Yeah, if you get down into Washington County, there's some by the casino there too.
Okay.
So like, yeah, but yeah, there is one out by State College. I go up in the mountains up there by State College. I've been hunting and stuff. I go to a hunting camp up there sometimes.
Up in Center County.
Yeah, up that way. Like,
he really just hunts, and then he says he's going hunting, but he just goes and eats hash browns at Waffle House.
I am the worst at that. This is what I do when I'm hunting. The best thing to do to me is to just leave me be with my chew and give me a four wheeler, and I'll track all the deer, get them, and I process them. But like, if I have to get up in the morning, it ain't for me. Sorry, PETA's going to be banning your show there, brother. They're going to be yelling at you like they did yelled at me at Warped Tour and stuff. Like, PETA gets to get all angry, paint the faces in blood.
Wait, PETA yelled at you at Warped Tour?
Yes, they did before.
You got to give me more than what you just did.
Well, you know, the PETA kids, they're pretty passionate folks, you know, and they take our stuff really seriously. And we have deer skulls on stage, and, you know, they came with their blood face. This is before you fellas were here, and they came, this was in L.A., of course. No, it was actually in Northern California. Of course it was. So, and they come to the side of the stage, and they're like, hey, they're like, are those deer skulls real? And, you know, and me, listen, man, I'm a hillbilly. Like, I didn't even realize the loadedness of this question. I just turned around. I was like, yeah, we got that one in Mount Morse, PA. And this one we got down there around Morgantown. I processed and ate that one at this time. And their heads were going to explode. Like, it was like, they were just like, oh my God. And that was, but anyway, it doesn't matter. They weren't our fans anymore.
The last time we played Warped Tour, Joan stood on stage with a buck knife and offered to cut off the skinny jeans from all the kids walking around.
Yeah, that happened.
And how did that go?
One took us up on it.
Thing took us up, yeah. Kevin Lyman from Warped Tour is awesome, and he thought it'd be funny. I saw Kevin after we played Warped Tour on the final Warped Tour, and we were in L.A., and I just was like, and I walked over to him at a bar, and he saw me like in a cowboy. He goes, I remember you guys, because I thought it'd be funny putting you guys on Warped Tour. And I was like, yeah, it's a, you know,
surprisingly, we didn't go over well.
Yeah, you know, our audience. Like, I mean, he put us on in like Tennessee and in Texas and stuff, but we didn't exactly win the hearts of, you know, like Attila's fan base and so
forth. Yeah, it's a shame because Joe really likes Blink 182, and I feel like it was a, you know, they just didn't get it. They missed it.
It's just that it didn't happen. So. You know. And last time I was there, I had a kid like walk up. He points to like my Misfits tattoos. He goes, "I like the Misfits," and I'm like, "Cool, bro." And I'm like, I was like, "I'm a big Danzig fan." He looked at me with his eyes glossed over. He goes, "I don't get it." And I was like, "Yeah." I was like, "You freaking poser, man."
What is the best pizza you've had because you were in a band?
I'm a big fan of Casey's breakfast pizza. I'm gonna go with Grant on that. Like when we're in the Midwest, like I generally wake up before everybody. I always wake up, I walk to Casey's, I get my energy drink, I eat their breakfast pizza, and then I put a chew in. It's delicious. Yeah,
I don't even think this is up for debate. I think that's just the correct answer.
I mean, if you're gonna talk like real pizza, you know, you got to go to like New York City, you know, or like Jersey outside the city or something. But like Casey's breakfast pizza, they got their own thing going on, man.
I was on tour in Chicago and I ate at this place called Pequod's, I think. Yeah, and it was some sort of like deep dish thing. It was really good, but we ate like 45 minutes before we were supposed to play. We all ate just huge deep dish pizza. Went to the club, and we clogged the men's and the women's toilet. They had to call in like an emergency plumber during.
You know what though, Chicago, like having relatives and stuff, like up in New York and stuff, like the Chicago people talking crap with their pizza and stuff. I'm sorry, guys. Like you can give us Cheap Trick, but you don't really make pizza.
As good nah,
as it's a
casserole.
Yeah, and Malort too. Casserole. I mean, their Malort is good.
Casserole.
The Malort is not good.
Malort is good. Malort. Yeah, Malort. No.
Literally, so, it's like brewed with dirty, like ashtray butts.
Yeah, it's like licking a bum's butthole, man.
I don't know Joe's frame of reference on that, but we'll leave it.
Just saying,
You're sitting on a bench, and your musical idol comes and sits down beside you, and they say, "You can ask me only one question." Who's going to be sitting there, and what are you going to ask them?
I think we should answer for each other.
Yeah, okay. All right. Because I was like, I already blurted my answer out pretty quickly.
Because here's what Jode would say. He would say, "Fergie, how do you sing so good? Can you teach me to sing good too?"
It wouldn't even be in the top 10, dude. It would be Springsteen for me.
So here's what Grant would say. Fergie. Grant would say, "Ringo, Daddy."
Yeah, Grant did see Ringo's mustache.
I don't think I look like Ringo at all, but
man, yeah, you're deluded. But go ahead.
Sean's been kind of guarded. I actually don't know who Sean's musical idol is. You know, like I mean, I'm a big Springsteen fan, except when he starts talking too much liberal, and then I can't understand what he's saying. because that
is it so hard to figure out George Michael? I mean, is it really that hard?
Yeah, that would be a great example, Sean. I could trade the bus.
I don't know what question you would be asking George Michael.
That went all kinds of wrong whenever, you know.
I think the question is, can we go to the movies together? I think that's the
That'd be pretty tough. That's a good one. I'll tell you what, the Faith album is that's cool.
That's pretty solid.
Yeah.
Oh, and the jacket too.
And the boots.
I've been trying to buy the jacket for a long time. Like our old manager bought the boots, and he doesn't look good. But the jacket,
it takes a special kind of man to pull off those boots.
The jacket though, like I've found the replicas. I haven't pulled the trigger yet, but I didn't pull the trigger on the fur coat. So
fair enough. So I'm all with that right now.
But Springsteen, and the question I would ask the boss is, when are you taking us on tour as direct support?
No, God, yes.
The question, and only. You're only going to play songs off Darkness of the Edge of Town. I'm going to pick your set list every night. That's what it's going to be. I'm going to write them. That's it.
It doesn't sound like a question.
Yeah, it's a demand. I'm just telling him. You're going to get the fucking on elbow. Mr. Springsteen. When I got to go meet with my friends that played in the E Street Band, I was not allowed to knock on Springsteen's hotel room door, even though I asked which room he was staying in. They were like, oh, no, we're not telling you. Because they know I'll be up on that elevator in a minute. Like, hey, excuse me, Bruce.
He'd probably appreciate that. Some random hillbilly knocking on his door. Hey, let me write your set list.
Yeah, I'm like, have shit canned at 2 a.m. He would love that. That's exactly what he's looking for.
You're out on tour and you're bouncing between city and city, and you're on the bus or the van or however you guys happen to move.
Beastie Boys always on vacation. See, I did.
Yeah. So right, my question is, what are you going to listen to while you're traveling?
Yeah. Oh, man.
This is three very different answers are going to pop up right now.
We have a lot of fans right here.
Yeah, figures heavily into this calculation.
Yeah.
So Jared only listens to Fergie and George Michael, and I'm not exaggerating.
Lately, I listen to
Bon Jovi, too.
Bon Jovi's awesome. Yeah, I listen a lot of Bon Jovi. My playlist, there's not going to be too much in there made past after 1989. It's getting pretty much taps out. Maybe if I get into an old school hip hop phase, then yeah. Grant listens for being a millennial, is trying to eat in Tide Pods, try to take my guns and stuff. He has a remarkable knowledge of old school hip hop from the golden era. So he has a lot of pretty cool stuff. So
it's all the Tide Pods. I get my brain flowing.
It is, man. He's talking about like Q-Tip and like all these things. I'm like, how do you know that, man? You didn't even live through that stuff. And I know his dad wasn't listening to it. So
there was a fair amount of Manowar that filled.
We listened to a lot of Manowar last tour.
And I can't hate on Manowar.
That's the false metal, man. We're not going to be part of that.
I was
it's great.
I was converted. I was converted last tour. Yeah. I wasn't a fan. I'm a fan now.
If you like metal, you're my friend.
Other bands play Man of War Kills.
Yeah, Man of War. And then if you really want to cross in, when we go from Man of War, then we'll go into Van Canto. But I'm not know if you're familiar with them. Van Canto is an all a cappella group from, I believe, Germany. And they all sing different things. And they only have a live drummer. And they cover bands like Man of War. And they call it like Metallica.
Your show ends. You've loaded your stuff. You're walking down the street. There's a DeLorean sitting there with its door open and a flux capacitor in it.
88 miles an hour, son.
That's right. Where are you going in history, and what band are you going to hang out with?
I would like to point out that this actually happened. Joe, do you remember we were leaving NAMM and there was a DeLorean in the hotel parking lot?
Yeah,
we were walking back to the Uber and there was just a DeLorean sitting there.
Yeah, you're right.
Random DeLoreans?
Just a DeLorean sitting there.
There was also a Ghostbusters car, too.
Yeah, in the hearse. Yeah.
That thing is sweet.
Oh, yeah. But anyway, back to the question at hand. I'm thinking, ooh, that's a big one. I'm gonna go nerd on you guys. I'm gonna go to Detroit in the early 70s and see the MC5 and Iggy and the Stooges.
Oh man,
kicking out the jiggery.
Yeah, or this just because of the sheer absurdity of it for me, I want to go see Lou Reed in the Velvet Underground hanging out at Andy Warhol's place. Look at me. being there. Like, I'd just be like a random hillbilly. That'd be hilarious. So
you just want to scam on weird random drugs. I can see where that's going.
Those are my picks. Go ahead. I'll give it.
I'm definitely going to Pasadena, California, 1976.
I already know where you're going. I know where you're going.
And I want to go see Van Halen play backyard parties with, like, just cool half-naked California chicks. That's my jam. I just want to listen to them cover Casey and the Sunshine Gang. That's cool. I'm down with that.
Freaking David Lee Roth, man. He is it's the quintessential front man of all.
Oh, absolutely.
He just wins.
I would go see Thin Lizzy right after Jailbreak came out.
Okay.
I forgot the name, whatever tour they were on then, but that's where I'd go.
All right. What is the okay? This is a good question, Grant, because this is good for us. We should know this. Who are the two guitar players at that time on that tour? Because they were
at changed. That time.
Yeah.
Was it
That's way before like Sykes or Gary Moore. Like
that's before Gary Moore.
Yeah.
Is the two like long haired?
Yeah,
they look like twins.
Yeah, this is a shame. I can't even remember the stuff. But yeah, that's who it is. But yeah, those were Thin Lizzy had such great. Yeah, you pull that up, Sean.
Yeah,
that's a big question because you know, Grant is right. That is essentially one of the great rock bands of all time. There, and that doesn't quite get their accolades.
It's the most underrated rock band of all time.
I have to wonder though, were they? Like in Ireland, were they underrated? I have to think they were huge in Ireland.
I don't know. It's a good question. We'd have to ask like Jay or Jake that, you know, like they would know better than us, you know, about that. But that's.
I mean, they were huge in Europe, but like over here, just no one.
It just did. There was I read a couple things. There was a couple reasons for that, like something to do with like their PR. They had to cancel a tour and like things like that. And it, you know, the way it went back then, that was like.
It's the same with the Kinks too. Because, like, I read the story like Ray Davies got in a fight with some big promoter in the United States, and then they just wouldn't bring him over here. And so the Kinks never got, like, their real shot in the U.S. And now they have this awesome band that most people don't listen to.
Yeah, it sounds like I would get in a fight with a promoter.
Yeah, exactly.
So speaking of getting your real chance, you're standing at the crossroads waiting for the devil to arrive. What are you selling your soul to him for?
Here's the thing. Here's the thing. I'm gonna get all hoodoo on you. It's actually, if you do it like straight, the actual cross.
I know it's metaphoric, but
because it's actual Papa Legba and it's a voodoo thing, and Papa Legba is the deity that comes between the afterworld and here.
Legba.
And you can make bargains. It's not actually selling your soul. But it has gotten twisted into that. Sorry, I'm a big not a practitioner or anything. I'm obviously a white hillbilly from Southwest PA. But I do like that. But yes, but I do appreciate your question. So what would we – in Papa Legs of the term, you'd be trading something. So if in the devil one, you'd be trading your soul, but you could also be trading something is what you're asking. Is that what you're saying?
Yep. What are you trying to gain from it?
What am I trying to gain from it? Well, being that I'm already, you know, a perfect human being, there really wouldn't be a lot that I would be looking to trade for. But he might want to trade with me because I am the Appalachian Apostle, and I have my own prayer candle, actually, which you could purchase online.
I would trade Sean's legs for $30.
is it a good deal?
It might be.
Can you sell them for that much? Have you seen them? They're not great. I can
get 30 out of them, dude.
Yeah.
Right. You know, you guys were jamming the Faces last time.
I'm Faces.
Like hot legs, and it's got me going on a – I'm feeling the
– Rod Stewart.
Yeah, Rod Stewart.
I think Rod Stewart's playing Nashville soon.
Really?
Yeah.
Dude, all right, so
– That show.
Truth be told, I just went the other day and I saw – a Stones tribute band opening up was a Rod Stewart tribute band.
That sounds awesome.
This dude, I don't know what he had done. I think it was all like just like plastic surgery, whatever. But he had the greatest fake Rod Stewart face I've ever seen. And then he turned around and shook his 70-year-old ass in some leather pants. And I was converted. I was immediately like, I'm sold. This is the best thing I've ever seen in Nashville.
Could you imagine going to the plastic surgeon who's like, I need you to sculpt my face like Rod Stewart?
I'm telling you, it was like they stuck chicken bones in his jaw just to like beef it up. Just make it look massive.
The first time I was ever in New York, I was riding the subway with my parents, and this blind guy was walking up and down the subway singing, "Do You Think I'm Sexy?" And he was killing it. Like, he was getting all into it, but he's totally blind and he's like fumbling around. And then someone asks, "What stop this is?" Or someone asks, like, "Is this like 8th Street or something?" And he stops and turns and looks at him and goes, "No, this is 6th Street. You got to wait 2 stops." And then, like, goes back to being blind and singing the song. What just happened? You just ruined your shtick, dude.
Here's a good story about Scattered Hamlet. The last time we were in New York, we were, we went to Sirius Radio to do an interview. And when I was in the lobby, I got to see Ivan Drago. He was standing next to me, and that made me very happy.
But
for your students out there, they might not be aware, but Rocky beating Ivan Drago was actually what settled the Cold War. And that's how America beat communism, because Rocky beat Ivan Drago.
They probably haven't updated your textbooks yet.
Did he have to break you? Because that's important.
Yeah, well, that's it. I mean, listen, he killed Apollo Creed, who was the greatest American boxer of all time. What needed to happen? It wasn't Jake Paul. I'm sorry, guys. You know, it's not that, that guy that walks around Pokemon around his neck like a jabroni. It was actually Apollo Creed was the greatest boxer of all time. And then Rocky had to go train in Siberia, which happens. And then he came out and he beat Ivan Drago. And then
who was like 3 feet taller than him?
Yeah, I'm about 6'1", and he was taller than me. I mean, but like when you're a kid watching that, like he looked like a mountain. You know, like, you know, with me and cowboy boots standing next to him, I was like, okay, Ivan Drago doesn't look that big. But it was still awesome because he was Ivan Drago, and I was just very excited to see him. So I just wanted to share that with you.
As you will.
See, that brings up the who's the most famous celebrity you ever met question.
Oh, we could beat that. It's not Ivan.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Here, I'll start. I met Gene Simmons.
That's a good one. That's
Wow.
Fair enough.
Never heard of him, but sounds famous.
Lynn Swan. Rod Woodson. I met a lot.
He was a great wide receiver. He's not the best. Jerry Rice was the best. But sorry.
I'm gonna let you get away with that just because you're the guest.
I could go zero to Al Bundy in like 2 seconds here if you start getting me.
Dude, I went to the same grade school as Al Bundy.
Really?
Yeah. Literally.
That's pretty awesome.
Indeed. I'm very proud of that fact.
You know, here's the thing, like for the most famous person. I lived in Los Angeles, so, you know, when we started this band, you know, I was like right there in Hollywood. I mean, you know, I would sit at the Rainbow and talk to Lemmy. I saw, you know, I've talked to Steven Tyler, you know, I became friends with like Tom Morello, like Scott Ian used to share rehearsal space with me. So, you know, like being there, it kind of broke a little bit of that glass between like, you know, like super celebrity and like, you know, like Joe Rogan was in our jiu-jitsu class, you know? So, you know, it kind of broke a little bit of that like window, you know, for me, but you know, so I've been fortunate to like meet a lot of people. Lita Ford hates us. You know, we, you know, who's a bit, you know, we hope for Kid Rock. We didn't see him, but like Dee Snider, we, you know, talked to us. But yeah. There's been a couple.
Oh, D. Snider, you're just like setting these questions up for me.
Yeah,
we play a Scattered Hamlet song backwards.
All right.
What do we hear?
We hear Adam Jonas. Awesome.
We actually did this. Did
I
do this
feel
in
like
a video
that's
game?
Probably in a
yeah, it's a video.
Yeah, you made like a TikTok video. Yeah. If you play any of our songs backwards, actually, you might have to adjust the speed. They say, "Don't be a jabroni."
Right.
As you spin them backwards.
You're
just going to find the right speed.
And you wouldn't believe how hard it is to write so many different lyrics that backwards say
yes.
Yeah. You can only do this on vinyls, which you can buy online at scatteredhamlet.com.
Yeah, could you?
But you can buy them at Amazon now, too.
And Amazon now.
Yeah, you can do that now. Yeah, the craziest thing, like, you know, talking about, like, the celebrity thing, we were, it was 2 times ago, we were playing at Sturgis, and it was us, Dee Snider, and then Disturbed. And, you know, like walking back off the stage when I was done, like, you know, we have different trailers. Like, we have the smallest trailer. And Dee has a bigger trailer, and then, like, Disturbed has a bigger trailer. That's how it works. But, you know, I was, like, walking back to go to our trailer, which I'm very happy we had a trailer. Because the first time we played there, we just, like, sat in the parking lot and, like, cooked cans like we were hobos. like by the train tracks, which we were perfectly happy doing. But then we got like a trailer, we're like, holy shit, like we're like,
we wrecked a $30,000 motorcycle the first day we were there.
Yeah, that happened. Yeah, but it was like we're raking off bills, like we're raking off $1 bills, like we're a boss. But yeah, but I walk past the trailer and like this guy like walks out and it's like, oh, it's D. Snyder, you know, and he's like stretching out and like D looks, I mean, he's in shape like he's 30, you know, like, and D's been doing this forever. And like, and it was right after we had covered the song Stay Hungry. And, you know, for one of our friends that got in an accident, you know, I walked away. I was like, hey, D, I was like, you tweeted some really nice things about us, you know, for our cover of Stay Hungry. I was like, thank you for that. And like, he looked at me, he goes, oh, you're that guy, huh? He's like, I liked what you did with my song. That was pretty cool, man. And I was like, well, you're D. Snyder, and that's really cool. You know, I don't know. Really lame like that, you know. And you know, we just sat and he was like, yeah, bro, you know, or whatever. But it was really cool. We got to watch the show from the side, and he is a total class act. And, you know, it was really cool. It was one of those, like, you know, sometimes, you know, you eat a lot of crap when you're in a band. So, like, when little things like that happen, it's kind of, like, cool. You know, it's kind of like a nod. You're like, you remember why you started doing it, because – you listen to people's records like that, or, you know, knew about people like that. So that's pretty cool.
Let's talk about your song Lowdown.
Yeah. That's a good,
I'm going to ask you to imagine that you're on MTV and it's your time to tell a story.
Is it TRL?
Do you know, I was actually on MTV Spring Break before for shut-ins on MTV 2 in the year 2001. Thank you.
Oh, I have that on VHS.
Yeah, actually, I introduced videos and stuff. I was balling, man. I hope that footage never sees light. And I know someone who has it, and I hope that he doesn't. The actual VJ at the time has it. I know he has it because every now and again when I'm talking crap on Twitter, he'll release like a little like clip of me doing something. And I'm just like, wow, he has that? So I know he has all these things. And he's just waiting for the right moment to like spring into action with it. We haven't quite got to that position yet. But
you know, you made it when that shit becomes.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Cause he's going to, cause I bet I'm wearing a flaming beanie like Tito Ortiz would, and I might be rapping.
Oh man.
Flaming beanie.
I can't wait for this.
And I don't know what video I'm introducing in. Might have been 2002. I don't know. I can't remember. But yeah, anyway, so it was, yeah. It was pretty awesome at the time, but now, like, in hindsight, I'm like, that was rough. That was on national television.
All right, so tell us about Lowdown.
Lowdown is what happens after, if for anybody who watched the Wonderful Whites of West Virginia, we actually, it was a Johnny Knoxville documentary about the Whites of West Virginia. Hank 3 did the song for it, because Hank 3's a legend. What happened was we were invited to, I mean, I essentially live in West Virginia for all practical purposes. But we were invited to play Jesco's 62nd birthday party. And Jesco is also known as the Dancing Outlaw. And we played his birthday party. And we had quite an experience at Jesco's. And we wrote a song about it, like, to hear it, here it goes. It's called Lowdown.
That was Lowdown by Scattered Hamlet, who are hanging out with me tonight on episode number 603 of the Pennsylvania Rock Show. Oh, yes. Tell me you guys use that.
Yeah, that's
a Lowdown.
Yeah, it's all over Lowdown.
First of all, we'd like to say you're welcome for graciously providing your ears with something that awesome to listen to.
This is actually the Josh Harp Lowdown. True. And this is the harmonica that we use.
Also, kudos to Rich, master of the Juice Harp, because that...
He killed it. Because I did the scratch track of the harp. Then Rich came back and really laid it down with heart. So, yeah, he took it to the next level.
We're not allowed to give Rich compliments when he's not here.
I know. It seems gross, doesn't it?
Yeah, now's our time to strike.
So Metallica has played at Antarctica. Kiss has played in the ocean to sharks.
Oh, yeah. I met Lars and Robert Trujillo before the party. That's they're pretty famous.
They are just slightly famous.
He might be from one of the biggest fans there, but go ahead. I'm sorry.
So what's a place that you want to play on Earth that people wouldn't think of as a venue?
Oh, I want to play at the Corn Palace, the Mitchell Corn Palace.
Oh, yeah, the Corn Palace.
Oh, my God, the Corn Palace.
Yeah, the Mitchell Corn Palace. We stopped there on the way to Sturgis, and we went there. I was like, it is a palace of corn in a basketball arena. I was like, this one I play. I remember calling our manager. I was like, I want to play at the Mitchell Corn Palace. He's like, is that even a thing? I don't care if it's not a thing.
That was also want to play the top was played the old shows.
Well, you're talking about the ZZ Top and the Corn Palace at the same time.
I want to play at the world's largest truck stop too.
Oh, that's a good one. Blackberry Smoke.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
If we could tie those in and play at the world's largest truck stop and then zip on over to the Corn Palace, I think that's all I need to do in my music career.
I'm done.
We already played the Gathering of the Juggalos, which is a pretty unlikely place, and I don't ever want to go back there.
Yeah, that's not going to happen again.
No, I'll never take that show again. I will say, I mean, hey, I'm a big, I respect the whole Psychopathic Records and what ICP has built as an empire and all that kind of stuff. But I don't belong together.
Yeah, we didn't go over well, but I will say, we didn't go over well, but everyone was very nice.
They were very nice.
Yeah. It was a surprisingly non-hostile atmosphere all the vibes you get going in, like, this is going to be terrible, but it was actually, I mean, it was terrible, but everyone's very nice.
Yeah.
About violence with juggalos, it just didn't seem to be a thing.
No, they don't tolerate it at all.
Maybe lack of bathing somewhat.
Rich broken. Did say they did set up fireworks in the middle of the crowd when ICP was playing. I don't know if that is necessarily considered violent.
They threw a freaking grill propane tank in the bonfire.
Oh,
I don't know if it's violent. It's very dumb.
Yeah,
but to be fair,
you're lucky you didn't get hit with shrapnel.
That's what my friends were playing.
Oh, we left.
I won't call him out there in one of the bigger headliner bands there, but he was like, he goes, yeah, when the propane tank went in the tank, he's like, I was done. He's like, that's it. I'm going home. Too old.
They don't know how magnets
So that was his being slapped in the ribs.
Magnets work. Yeah. Magnets, how do they work? I don't know.
No, it's crazy.
I don't even remember the question that started that.
The place you would want to play that would be normal venue.
Oh, yeah. Well,
Corn Palace.
If I could play a lot of fairs, that'd be awesome. If we could play the Mitchell Corn Palace and then play a fair.
You could totally have a fair at the Corn Palace. There's enough room out there.
I honestly think... if there's a get that we could get, we should play Burning Man. And we should.
If we played Burning Man and they brought back Lilith Fair and we played that because I'm still woke and
we should play Lilith Fair. Lilith
Fair, Burning Man. And then they're going to bring back and we're going to play and we're going to go on tour with Fish.
It'll be do you understand? This is the realization of your dream to play with Melissa Etheridge. This could happen. This is
not wrong. Yeah, that could be awesome.
So this is my official build the scene question. The question is, who's your Dave Grohl? In other words, what band would you want to go up on stage with and perform one of the originals? Because the Foo Fighters are known for pulling people out of the crowd and letting them play.
Okay, I know who my. I want to play with Social Distortion. I want Mike Ness to call me on stage. When he reaches for my hand, I'll pass out because Mike Ness is so awesome. And then we're going to get together and then we're going to sing Bad Luck or we're gonna sing and the story of my life, and it's gonna be epic, and you guys are gonna have the greatest moment that you'll never forget for the rest of your life.
Do they have to be alive?
And then someday I'm gonna ask somebody where they're gonna go in their DeLorean, and they're gonna pinpoint that date.
Yeah, you'd want to go to that date because it's gonna be awesome.
No, they do not have to be alive. We have a DeLorean.
Fair enough. Go ahead, Grant.
Man, I think I'd say Prince.
Ooh. That's pretty sweet. Prince would never let us.
What song? What song?
I don't care. Any of them.
Just whatever.
Yeah, it's like I'll play any of them. Just playing in that. All his bands are so phenomenal and they're so good.
Because he's
like,
Prince.
I know. Like if you just get to like sit in that groove on stage with Prince, like it doesn't get better than that.
I would actually rather sing.
Clearly, you're just going to be covered in purple. I mean, that's been your MO for a long time.
More, if we went on tour with Morris Day and the Time? That'd be
come on.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Holy shit. I should carry the mirror.
Not as cool as Prince, but it's still pretty cool.
Yeah, let's hear Sean before we hijack your conversation.
I would say Unchain the Night with Don Dokken. That's the way I would roll. Because
I don't know what to take seriously or not. And then when I see you guys start cracking up, I'm like, okay, like
Don, you know, like Don Dokken, like I feel like he really
is this it. When George Lynch had the Kanjigugu haircut though?
Yeah. Oh yeah, he had the it wasn't a mullet,
it was looked like the like he had a raccoon on his head,
it was like a hockey haircut.
Yeah.
He was playing center.
The first time I met George Lynch, the only like I bumped into him and like we're both like looking at each other and like he was like looking at me like, are you gonna say something to me? And I'm like, dude, do you have the Dream Warriors guitar? And he was like, yeah, I do. And then we had a whole conversation about it. So that was my George Lynch story.
Did he smell like high karate? Because I feel like he would.
Yeah. You know what? I believe he did. You know, and it was like if he had high karate, he's like the Chuck Norris of guitar.
Oh, absolutely,
a Chuck Norris of guitar.
We made fun of Dave Grohl. Here, I'm going to tell you our Dave Grohl story anyway.
Okay, good.
We were standing by the side of the stage at the Dime Bash many years ago, and like everybody had to walk through us to get on the stage. So what we did was we just took it upon ourselves to be these hillbillies that stand at the Dime Bash to roast everyone that was going on stage. So everybody that was a celebrity would walk past us and we'd roast them. Like in our posse, we were so funny because we're clever people that our posse kept getting bigger. Like it started like Tommy Victor walked by and I'm like, oh, cool. Look, it's not John Christ. It's our third favorite guitar player from Danzig. And like, and then when he got off the stage, he's like, you know what? He goes, I just give up. I'm just going to hang out with you guys. So then he's with us and then he starts harassing people. And then pretty soon, like there's other dudes from like Revolution Mother. And it was like crazy. Like, so then we had a whole posse. Now, as the night goes on, our posse's gotten big, and we have, like, all these people around, you know, which has given us an edge of credibility, too. That's why we didn't get thrown out right away. But then... then there comes this whole posse coming through, like, moving, like, in our direction. Like, it looked like a whole group, like you're going to a fight or something. In the middle of it, it's Dave Grohl, right? I mean, like, we can reach out and touch him. And, so here's me. I was like, took another sip, and I'm like, ooh, I'm Dave Grohl. I have a posse with 50 people because I'm so important. And the whole posse just stops moving. And I'm just like, oh, this is a good And he stops and like he looks at me and he's like mean mugging me. And I'm like, it all could have been bigger than Dave Grohl, but but he had a whole posse. They would have clearly thrashed me, you know. But, and he looks at me, and all of a sudden, he just got that big Dave Grohl grin, you know. And he put his hand on my shoulder and he goes, I like you guys. You guys are funny. He goes, these guys rule. And he walked away and he went on stage and we're like, yeah, we're like Dave Grohl. Like, you know, it's like, that was the best Dave Grohl like moment. Like, so I much respect.
I feel like I know him and I've never met him.
Yeah, right? That's how it was. Like, I mean, because, you know, I had never seen him in person, you know, like, and it was just like, you know, when he kind of like stopped and looked, I'm like, oh, this is going to like go bad. I was like, I don't want to be the guy that has a scrap with Dave Grohl, like, and then gets beat up by his bodyguards. But it turns out like it was really funny and it was cool. So Dave Grohl, awesome. Love you, brother.
There's an apocalypse. Well, last question before we ask those last two that tell you where at the end. Oh. Now everyone's getting in on the secrets of how the show works. But there's an apocalyptic event, which isn't really a reach at this point.
No, it's not.
And almost all the humans are wiped off the face of the earth. And all but one song from every band is also destroyed.
Oh, shit.
Which scattered Hamlet song is going to survive and help repopulate the earth?
Oh, ho, ho, ho.
I don't know, man. That's a rough one. What do you guys think? I'm going to step out of that question. I don't even know the answer. Everything that I think is good, like, no one else likes. So, like, that's, like, whatever I pick as the single usually isn't the right one. So,
so what song of ours? One song?
Which one song of yours will help repopulate the earth? You can read into that however you wish.
I'm going to throw it out there only because...
I can't believe I feel like I stumped you guys after all of that.
Yeah, we have a lot of questions that I've gotten from people that have listened to the songs. You know, when you get that honest feedback from friends, they know, like, real people, they're going to tell you what they like. Swamp Rebel Machine is probably the song.
Yeah.
I think that's the one.
I would say, like, in terms of our slower stuff, like the mid-tempo groove, Swamp Rebel Machine, like in terms of our up-tempo shuffles, like Shelter.
Oh, yeah.
It seems to be, like, you know, a pretty, but yeah.
Here's the thing, Joe. Like, this is, you're repopulating the earth, so you have to, this is Get Jiggy music. This isn't, drink and pass out too soon music. This is Get Jiggy music and repopulate the earth. Like, we have to have babies. So I feel like Swamp is more that speed. Just my thought.
Yeah, I feel like Sean listens to what I was putting down there.
Jiggy music at all. Like, if somebody's getting into that, if that's like your move to like that, like, I'm gonna put up, that's really gonna get the ladies in the mood. I think you're gonna be mistaken, but you know, hey man, if it works for you, whatever.
I will tell you, it works for strippers. Every time I go to the strip club, I'm like, hey, Chris Swamp Rebel. I don't have to pay as much. Like, I don't have to shell out as much money. It works better. I'm just saying.
Didn't you guys cover Mississippi Queen like a long time ago?
Oh, there was that. Yeah,
that's the one. That's a cheating though, because it's a cover.
Nah. Stay hungry, because we're gonna eat all the other interloper people.
We can do Black Flag because you call people hoss a lot in that song. I feel like that's probably the new one we want in the new world.
Hey, hoss. Yeah, everybody should be calling each other Hoss in the new world when you roll up on people. Like, it's up, Hoss. It's up.
Yeah, it seems fair.
Yeah. Those are good questions.
I can't believe that was the one that you guys paused.
That was
on.
Hard, man. Yeah, you stumped us with that one.
Yeah, that's not really the kind of music we make.
I know. And that's the best part. Where can people find your music online? Where would you point them?
Google.
Yeah, the Google is a magic thing, man. You just get a Google. If you write Scattered Hamlet there, like, you'll get a metric, or scatteredhamlet.com is even better. But yeah, you can pretty much get everything, you know, there. You know, we're on all the social medias, Facebooks.
We're easy to find.
Yeah, it's not hard.
Especially if you live in Russia. There's a lot of bootlegs out there.
Download all that stuff.
Really easy to find in Russia.
Yeah, I'm hoping that Putin lets me go fishing with him and we can practice karate in his garage. But
dude, I'm worried about you riding bareback with him on a bear back, if you know what I mean. I'm just saying.
He's 100% male, man. He's not. There's going to be no funny.
No, I know. I understand that.
He's Putin.
They're just fishing.
We're just
That's fishing. Right.
They're fishing buddies.
We're playing karate in the garage.
What do you guys have coming up next?
We got
world domination.
Yeah, we're gonna world dominate, but
you're gonna work on that song to repopulate the earth, right?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, America.
Corn Palace 2023. That's happening.
I have a ninja star too, in case we get attacked by ninjas. But in the meantime, we have some stuff in the works we're not allowed to talk about. So until those contracts are signed, but right now the next show is actually in Nashville in March. That we can't talk about. So we will be in Nashville at what's the name of that venue, guys?
That would be the Cobra. In East Nashville, which is probably the most fantastic, amazing venue you've ever been to. They have microwave burritos.
Yeah.
You didn't do that. You could have
said sound system. Good stuff.
Two bars.
Yeah, I would have been on that right away.
They have two bars.
Yeah, they have two bars. That's cool.
That's true.
As long as they're close to the stage, like when they like put the bar in the other end, that never works out.
No, right, right.
But yeah, so we're going to be in Nashville in March. Of course, you know, there's going to be, you know, we there's more touring. We got some stuff that's coming up. You know, we'll probably have some festival appearances and stuff. We're usually the last person to find out that we'll be at the festival because we're like the redheaded stepchildren. They book like Metallica and stuff first. We get booked last. But then they'll tell us and we'll be there because that's what we do. We bring the rock every time.
This has been episode number 603 of the Pennsylvania Rock Show. With me tonight were Sean, Grant, and Adam from Scattered Hamlet. I want to thank Joseph Barrett for pointing me in their direction from First Angel Media. And thank you guys for hanging out with me and the lion. And
we told you we were number one, but we lied. We're number 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5.
And we will see you next week.
When I was just a kid, I put my heroes on the throne. I was never really popular. I sat in the back row. So hard it seems impossible. Once you are famous, you think that you're unstoppable. Ain't about the money, the girls, or the fame. It's about being a motivator through the lyrics that you say. Like, I don't wanna be famous, I just wanna be proud. I just wanna be able to say what I'm feeling without always feeling like I'm the odd one. Right. I don't wanna be in the spotlight, I wanna be in the crowd. Wanna be in the only spot we can crank this shit up loud. Oh! We do it for the six string. Inside me, we do this for a living, but we do it.
This episode of the Pennsylvania Rock Show has ended, but be sure to subscribe to be introduced to more of the best on-sign rock and metal that Pennsylvania has to offer. Don't forget to rate and review the show, and we'll see you on the next episode.